Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 298. So I got my oil changed, which is not my favorite title that I've ever come up with, but it was the perfect title because that is how this little cute unassuming week started for me. And I got to sit back and become aware of all the things that would happen. And I'd be, how did I respond? Am I reacting? What should I do now? And it was at every 24 hours, I was surprised with a little something that hit that buzzer. So whatever has squeezed your insides, your heart, your soul, gave you fear, doubt, anxiety, worry, stress for 20, 30, 40 years, those things aren't going to ever really go away completely, I feel. And that's okay. You know, that's not the bad. The bad is you trying to fix it or do something that makes you perfect or thinking that you're broke and that's a bad. It's like, look, just become aware of that thing. I don't do well in this situation. When these things happen, I don't do well. That's my buzzer. That's my button. When those things happen, when that happens, it scares me. Fantastic. Just become, I think that's the whole motto behind Pro U, is be okay with it, but become aware of it, first of all. So when these things were happening, I mean, almost like every 24 hours, I had to kind of, you know, take inventory, check my pulse. And I know I was doing better. It was not a fun week. It was not a fun ride. But what I could look at that was factually based was I was responding better. I was calmer. When I felt some kind of crazy guilt, I'd be like, okay, look, this is not life punishing you. It's something that happened. You're not being punished financially. You know, it's always that thing with money in me. And like I said, doing the podcast for 4 years, you start feeling a little bit better when you can see the results, the fruits of your labor. Second thing I want to mention, I am actively pursuing, which I know will take a while, a live experience for participant. I'd love to get a lady, a female, a woman, just because I've done three of them and it's always been a man. But I don't care. You can't really be specific, and it's really hard to find someone that's willing to share, open up, begin a journey, and record that live on Facebook. But that's what it is. It's probably going to have to be someone local because you got to come here to the Zen Garden once a week, but it is, you know, free training. So if there's anyone, male or female, out there that would be interested in being the next participant in the live experience thing, give me a holler, shoot me a message, let me know. That would be fantastic. Lastly, I'm having a special on online training. If you've thought about it, if you've pondered, if you'd like to chat about it, we can Skype, phone, chat for free. If you have any questions or if you have any interest at all, but please let me know. And other than that, enjoy this episode. And thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. You are very appreciated. Enjoy. It's in the valleys I grow. Sometimes life seems hard to bear, full of sorrow, trouble, and woe. It's then I have to remember that it's in the valleys I grow. If I always stayed on the mountaintop and never experienced pain, I would never appreciate God's love and would be living in vain. I have so much to learn, and my growth is very slow. Sometimes I need the mountaintops, but it's in the valleys I grow. I do not always understand why things happen as they do, but I am very sure of one thing, my Lord will see me through. My little valleys are nothing when I picture Christ on the cross. He went through the valley of death. His victory was Satan's loss. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining when I'm feeling so very low. Just give me a gentle reminder that it's in the valleys I grow. Continue to strengthen me, Lord, and use my life each day to share your love with others and help them find their way. Thank you for the valleys, Lord. For this one thing I know, the mountaintops are glorious, but it's in the valleys that I grow. So, there's a lot I liked about that, you know, but it's just that, you know, repetitive thing, you know, said a different way that causes a different chemical reaction inside of you. And if I was 10, 20, I don't know what I would have thought of that. When I was 30, 40, I'm pretty sure I knew what I would have thought of that. But now I just look at it differently. And it's like, if you're cool in the valleys, you're winning. What's a valley? Tough moment, tough day, tough week, tough season, tough year. The cocoon. You go in one version, you come out another. It was not fun, it was not easy, it was not comfortable. You didn't really even want it, nor did you embrace it. But it is in that moment, week, season, cocoon, that you grow. So I just dug that, you know, just that reminder. When things are gnarly, you're not supposed to go, yay, this is awesome. You're just supposed to go, okay, not really sure what I'm learning, what I'm supposed to learn, but I know I got to get through this, and I know I will. That is pro you. So I got an oil change, which is a good thing to do as a responsible car owner. And this was a Tuesday. And, you know, one thing that was funny, you know, having different cars in your life, you realize that there's certain cars have more expensive parts. I had a 76 Datsun pickup in high school. I remember buying a muffler and it was like $30. The next car I got, I was selling insurance out of college, and a dude there, his side job was selling cars, and he got me an Audi GT coupe, and it was super cool. I mean, it had a big woofer that was stock in it, and I think it was a LeBlanc stereo. I mean, it was just a super cool car. I needed a new muffler. It was $400. And that was, you know, a long time ago. So, you know, I was pretty stoked when I got my 2016 Jeep Cherokee. It was kind of because of my SUV and the accident Zen and I got in. It was totaled, so I got a brake on the vehicle, and, you know, it was perfect and wonderful. So the first thing I realized is I got that flat tire, and it's like, well, you don't have a spare in this car. And I'm like, I don't have a spare. Yeah, you got to buy a spare tire. And I'm like, what is that about? And then I got the window smashed that one night, and in my head was, well, at least it's the smallest window. I mean, you go all the way around my Jeep Cherokee. This is the back side window. It's the smallest one. $400. And I have no idea why that little window is so expensive. But there's kind of those things you just start realizing, going, oh, I got this good thing. Oh, I got this new thing. I got this better thing. And it's never that easy. It is never that single piece where it's like, ah. Oh. Like, I had a 95 Jeep for 12 years. I was always putting money into it, always fixing it, always with something. So, you know, I get the joy of going, oh, I just get in my car and I drive it and I don't worry. I can drive it on the highway. I can drive for hours. I can come back. And, you know, that peace of mind is fantastic, having a newer vehicle. But, you know, 2016 is 2019. Things last around 2 or 3 years, technically, automotively, it seems. So I get up Wednesday. And it was kind of a little bit later in the day, but I noticed a little rough idle. And right away, you know, you have a vehicle for a long time. You can tell when these little things are off. It's just like, what's this? And I'm like, you know, I had gotten that flat tire. And not by my choice, but I'd gotten to this discount tire that's really close to me. And next time I got a nail in my tire, I brought it there and I still needed the alignment. And it was like, ah, good thing you brought it in. You needed the alignment. And, you know, they were just pretty cool. And I thought, well, let me see if they do the oil change because the place that was right by my house closed and moved. So I like being able to drop off my vehicle and then, you know, just grab Zen and walk home or go for a walk around that area, whatever it is. So I'm like, let me just see. And it was not expensive. So I was like, okay, cool. Oil change. And they're like, hey, we're going to check all the fluids and da-da-da-da-da. So Wednesday when I had the little rough idle thing, I'm like, okay, this was just in the shop. And they supposedly checked all this stuff. And today, so I'm like, well, I'll wake up Thursday and we'll see how it's running. So I don't even think about it. And I got the tandem parking, guy I park with, hollers, I'm leaving. I go outside, start the car, back it up, switch cars, come up. I'm going to grab Zen, grab some things, and it's like Thursday, I'm going to the beach. I started driving, and all of a sudden I felt that little idle thing. And I'm like, okay, now what does this mean? You know, it's like, am I going to the beach? Am I not? Is this a little weird? You know, I got some bad gas. Is there something wrong? And within 30 seconds of that, engine light goes on. And I'm like, oh, okay. Now, this is May, and I knew how slow May was going to be. So I was in this place of going, okay, you do not have to be anywhere today. And rather than, you know, getting a half an hour from your house and the engine light going on, it went on. So it's kind of that AA, that next indicated step. Okay, I'm driving here with Zen, engine light went on. Now I was going to run like an errand or two and then beach. And I just turned around. So I'm like, okay, you know, I go this way a mile and I don't make it back. I'm like, just go now. So turned around, drove towards my house, got to the discount tire. And I'm like, you know, I just bought it in Tuesday. Oh, it changed Thursday, engine light's on. He's like, okay, we'll look at it. And there's a little part of me, because you hate spending money, and this was unplanned. So there's that thing where it's like, okay, what did you guys do? And I didn't say that, but there's like, hey, and that's just me. That's like the money thing. It was a little bit, and again, I wasn't letting it all go, but I could kind of feel all that. I wasn't rude. I didn't say anything. I was polite. Everything's cool, but I could just, again, when you kind of are like, why am I feeling that way? You start becoming aware of these feelings. And I'm like, well, you know, what'd you guys do? And it's like, what they do? They didn't do anything. Just calm down. You don't know what's wrong. So walked home, stayed relatively calm and stayed relatively busy. I get a phone call and he's like, yeah, you need plugs and a coil. And I'm like, wow. Okay. $330. Okay. Call me when it's done. And I remember just kind of being like that. Like, a little wondering, why did that happen after I brought it there? Well, they can't do anything to wear out your spark plugs in one visit. So, I'm like, things happen. Shh. And I was quiet. So, walked Zen back when I got the call, picked it up, drove away. I didn't really think too much about it and that I was aware of. Because again, hey, slow May, lots of time. Just go to the beach. Bam, 3:30. Instead of going to the beach. So, go to sleep. And I'm kind of like, okay, I'm not shaking in the canoe. And I'm aware that I'm pretty still in the canoe in lieu of what's going on. So I wake Friday morning to a new day. I go, I'm going to get a couple things done. I'm going to go to the beach. Now, one thing I didn't share is a little bit of that, whatever you want to call it. Hey, you shouldn't be going anywhere. You don't have any money. That voice. Like, you're going to the beach. What do you, just is that little hum. I'm like, shut up. It's like, wow, you tried to go Thursday and you were shut down and you spent a bunch of money. That's exactly what you needed to see and hear. Like, don't go anywhere It's going to cost you money. Don't do anything until you make, you know, there's that whole thing. So I'm like, all right, you know, Friday, I'm going to run a couple errands. I'm going to go back to the beach. Undaunted. So my car won't start. Friday morning. And I'm like, this is where I was like, oh, I'm doing a podcast. So I got an oil change on Tuesday. Thursday, I got points, spark plugs, and a coil. Friday, my car would not start. And I was like, what? It was, you know, you turn the key, the lights go on. It's not your battery. I turned the key and there's nothing. I was like, how? I'm like, okay, I'm just completely baffled now. So I call AAA. So, okay, we'll be out. And again, there's that thing going, you have nothing to do. You have nowhere to be. It's okay. That was kind of the first thing. Like, I had a friend there going, listen, I know how you're going to initially react. And I know what happened this week, but... And I actually dialed the phone to Discount Tire. And I'll be like, look, now my battery's dead. What are you guys doing in my car? And I hung up. I mean, it rang. They answered. I asked, is Noah there? He says, 1 minute. And then I hung up. I'm like, wait a minute. AAA hasn't come. You don't know what's wrong. But that, hey, this is happening. I don't want it to happen. I'm going to blame someone. And again, I was highly aware of that. What are you going to say to Noah? Noah, AAA is on the way to my... I'm not sure what's wrong yet, but I just wanted to call you. I was like, what are you going to say? Shut up. And it was just, again, I was able to kind of keep this quiet inside. So AAA dude comes and he goes, yeah, battery's done. I was like, wow. And I told him, you know, got an oil change. He's like, yeah, that's just how it happens. He's, but, you know, this is what year? And right away I said, yeah, 2-3 years old. That's when, you know, stuff goes bad. Need to change, get new ones. You know, things happen in three, that whole thing. It wasn't like someone caused it or one thing caused the change reaction and one thing made this all. You know, it wasn't that at all. But, you know, you're human and your mind, you know, runs a little bit. So then he goes, but you got to be careful because you, you know, taking this in and out. And I looked at it and it was just, it was not the 76 Datsun battery. It was not my last SUV battery. I mean, I changed every battery in my car. Take it out, bring the old battery, the core, they call it, into the place. They give you like 10 or 20 bucks for that. You buy the new one. He goes, oh, this is an expensive battery. It's probably over $200. And I'm like, because I've always, it was like 80. You know, it was right on 80 bucks, 60 to 80, 80 to 100. I just remember that. You know, you don't buy a battery that often, but that was the number kind of floating in my head. And I'm like, what? How much? He's like, yeah, because it's this, I don't know, whatever kind of battery it was. And I was like, and he goes, but, you know, you go to a dealership, they're going to charge you a ton of money to take the battery out and put it back in. And I'm like, and I'm at my house. I was like, well, how do I get there? How do I get anywhere if I don't have, you know, I can't start my car? And I'm like, and he goes, yeah, I can do it for you. Throw me a little cash on the side. I don't care what it is. And I was like, well, okay, that's kind of cool. And he goes, okay, I got a call. I'm going to go get that call, come back, take your battery out, go, you know, next door to the AutoZone, grab the new one, come back, I'll put it in for you. And I was like, so the battery came to like 216 and I gave him like 250. So he made like 34 bucks and he was happy. But I was like, man, to be like, okay, I can go get the battery and I can come back and have it in my hands, but now I got to take this car that won't start and this battery somewhere to get it taken out and installed. Because they go, if you touch that plate, you can shut down the computer in your car. And I'm like, that's just it. They make, I remember my father talking about make newer and newer cars, and they make them so complicated that you can't fix them yourself. You can't get at them. You can't reach stuff. You can't change stuff. It's just made it so that, you know, the home mechanic can't do anything. And I'm like, how easy is it to change a battery? You know, two terminals, unscrew them, take the battery out, put it back in. But I was like, ah. Oh. So his name was Jesus. His name tag was J-E-S-U-S, which was kind of funny. But there was that whole, oh, you're really being punished. And now you wanted to go to the beach again and you got shut down again. You know, there was that little thing. It wasn't bad, but, it, you know, again, beautiful mind. Right there. There's the voice. There it was. But I was definitely aware how quietly I moved through the week. Like, okay, I have a big day. I'll go to the beach, or an open day, I'll go to the beach, free day. Okay, I'm not going to the beach. Okay, how much? Okay, I have that money, I paid for it. And just kind of going through it, walking through it, you know, like not feeling a whole one way or another about it. And it was like that AA, you know, next indicated step, one day at a time. And then I had this feeling, and I've always had this kind of saying in my head, like, you know, it's an Indian quote, like, you know, today was a good day to die. You know, what was a good day today to die? And I'm like, at the end of the day, if you like didn't feel horrible, if you didn't have any regrets, it'd be a cool day to die. You know, not that you needed to or wanted to or had to, but just if you did, you'd go, wow, that was a pretty cool last day. I don't need it to be huge. But if I was a good person that day and I was who I wanted to be and made the choices and actions and spoke the words I wanted to speak, I'm like, all right, I can end there. And I made it to the beach on Friday. And I thought, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not being punished. I'm not being blamed. This is my life. And I said this quote to someone. I said, it is either the most perfect life I've ever lived or I'm making a huge mistake. Because it's like I'm semi-retired. You know, I'm pursuing balance, which is a life I will not have to retire from. I have no thoughts of retiring. You know, I'm not really working that hard to make money. I feel like I've always worked hard and I'm doing things, but not of all of them are money-making things. But it gives me balance. It gives my life meaning. There's a wholeness to my life, a balance to my life. And I'm like, why would I quit anything that I'm doing? Why would I retire from anything that I'm doing? It's just kind of having that faith that, look, you're going to get through this right now. Like, it's going to be okay. And, you know, faith's a funky word, but that's one of the things that I'm thankful for when I say thank you 30 times a day. It's for my faith. So there's two little things that I always reminded myself. I like to think about dealing with faith. So one is walking to the edge of a cliff. Faith is believing one of two outcomes will happen if you jump. You will learn how to fly or someone will catch you. So it's that when you jump off the edge, that's not comfortable. That's not, oh, everything. But you got to have faith that, look, it's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to learn how to fly or someone's going to catch me. So right now, that is this the most perfect life I've ever had, or am I making a huge mistake? It's like, well, if it feels like, look like, smells like the best perfect life ever, then it probably is. The only thing that dampens that is that future fear. It's like, well, what do you have to do with that? What, you know, there's nothing you can control about the future. You know, nothing at all. But it's got nothing to do with you. You might not even make it to the future. So you just have faith that what you're building right now is not going to collapse. What you're living and experiencing. If it is the best you, you will be fine. You will learn how to fly or someone will catch you. This is the kind of thing about faith that I made up. As one door closes, another one opens. That I did not make up. But it's like the time it takes you to stop looking at that closed door and turn around and face the rest of your life and await patiently the opening of that new door. That's faith. See, so that's what I'm talking about. Like, I'm sitting here going, look, there's a little part of me going, dude, what if you have no money when you're 80? It's like, 80? What are you talking about? I'm 54. I might not even make it to 50. You know, I mean, I have no idea what tomorrow's going to bring. Right now, I got food, shelter, clothing. I'm healthy. Zen's healthy. I got great faith. You know, I'm the best I've ever been. And I really believe that my life is probably the best it's ever been. Now again, I didn't write down, hey, get divorced twice, don't have children, don't talk to this, don't do that. I didn't write that down. Those weren't goals. It's just the end of the day going, all right, here's my car, here's my life. Do I want to drive it or not? And I'm driving it, and I got good at it. I go, well, not the best car, not the car I designed when I was a child or thought or, you know, had any reference to, but now that I'm driving it, I like it. And it's mine. That brings me to a chat I had. So I'm mentoring three dudes right now, and it's pretty cool because I set it up to be like first week of the month, these are where my mentoring sessions are going to happen, and I just like it. To be organized, and it's there, and it's like, well, you might not be doing this or that, but here's something you're doing. And then I just said, okay, here, I'm going to call it mentoring. I'm going to call it mentoring sessions. And this is what I'm going to, I just liked it. So one of the cats, you know, mentioned a ton on the podcast, Joe. And, you know, when I kind of started thinking about, you know, doing the whole, you know, just making it a little bit more organized, doing it the first week of the month. And, you know, here are the people I mentor. And, you know, Joe's the name that, you know, came to my head. Because, you know, we're probably 2 years now been in contact and been talking and, you know, chatting every once in a while. He sends me an email, we have a little update, and I'll reach out, you want to Skype, we'll chat, you know, back and forth. And it's just been super rewarding. I mean, I love this dude and I have a ton of respect for him. And it's just great. Like, the people that I am in their lives, it's like I can tell I'm supposed to be because I know what to say because I know that that's what they need to hear. And I'm not making it up. I'm not pretending. You know, I'm just a mirror and I speak the truth, but it's exactly what they need to hear. And I know that when I'm talking to them. So it's very, very rewarding and fulfilling for me. So I was talking to Joe and he had mentioned his brother is really, you know, kicking butt with working out. Now, his brother's a little bit younger and got a little bit different life. And for some reason right now, his brother's able to really, really work out a lot. And he's just really, really getting in great shape. And in the past, that had kind of bothered Joe. It was kind of like that carrot going, well, I got to do that. I should do that. Look what he's doing. Look what he's got. And he says, you know, I'm better with that. And he said, I was talking to my brother. And he says, well, you know, I don't have time for that right now. And I said, well, you know, that's a good point. But I said, you know, let's reword that. Let's rephrase that. So I said, I'm just going to describe this to you right now. I said, you have priorities right now. And the priorities that you have are the things that you love and deem important, omnipotent, valuable. So those are the things you're doing. Now, if you had more time, would you spend it with your son or would you go to a gym for 2 hours? And he just laughed. And I said, okay, here's my point. His son is, I think he's one or just over one. Maybe he's two. I think he's two. That's when we started talking. So I think his son is two. And he said, you know, I had the longest work day today. You know, I've been making overtime, so it's good. We're getting some bills paid. But, you know, today was just a really long day. And he says, you know, I got home and, you know, he had my, you know, scheduled Skype session at 8 p.m. his time. So, you know, he's going to have a long day when he got home. And he says, as soon as I walked home and opened up my car and walked out, he goes, my son came running to me going, Daddy. He says, Tom, he goes, it just changed everything. It was like the best moment of my life. And he didn't make it all dramatic, and he didn't point it out like, look how great I'm doing. And I stopped him, and I said, do you know how, like, your life may never get better than that? And I mean that in a very positive way. You had a really, really long day, and you're really, really tired, and it would be so easy to be, hey, not now. Dad's tired. I got to go in. I got to rest. I got to lay down. And I said, and you didn't think, hey, you should make a pro-you decision right now. I said, by default, your son, that moment, filled your cup. And that's the fruits of his labor. And you could see as I was talking to Joe, him just changing, going, wow, like, you know, I'm pointing that out going, that happened. You didn't go, okay, I'm tired. I'm not in a great mood, but, you know, pretend to be excited. See, you know, there was no work. It just happened. And I'm like, you know, that wasn't always there. Money was a stressor and a button and you were holding things tight and tripping out and missing those moments. I said, because before you know it, your son's going to be 12 and your head's going to spin. And you're like, what? And I was watching this documentary on a powerlifting gym in Ohio. It was called West Side Dumbbells or West Side Barbells. And powerlifting is you do three events, bench press, squat, and deadlift. So you get some gnarly dudes doing this stuff. And there's people doing it still today, but it's a gnarly bunch of dudes. Anyways, these guys were talking about how much they were into it. It was a group of guys, and they'd get into it, and they were just, you know, it was just that gnarly mentality, gym barbell mentality. This one dude who's talking throughout the film was a pretty good friend of the owner who they were talking about. And this guy starts tearing up, and he goes, you know, my son was a state swimming champion. Long pause. He goes, I didn't make it to any of his meets. Another long pause. Because his swim meets were Wednesday night. That was bench press night. And you could see as that dude said that, it had no weight anymore. I missed my son's swim meet because it was bench press night at the gym with guys that I see every day. And there was this big, old, badass dude just tearing up. And as I said, shared that with Joe, he says, man, I just felt that. And I said, exactly. And I reminded him of this Joel Osteen quote saying, you know, you're fully equipped for your race. If you're looking at someone else's race, that's the problem. I said, so, you know, imagine your brother's life as a bike. He's got a certain bike for his life. It's lightweight, thin tires, bunch of speeds, because that fits his life. Now, your life is different. You know, you need big, knobby, fat tires. You know, you need a soft seat. You need some shock absorbers because you're more of a, you know, this mountainous kind of terrain life. And you're going, yeah, but I want his bike. I'm like, well, see, Joe, his little bike with those thin tires and that hard little seat, I go, it's not going to bode well for your, you need the big knobby tires, the big, you know, mountain bike kind of bike, not the high speed, thin little tire. He just kind of started laughing like he got it. Your brother's fully equipped, perfectly equipped to live his life, just like you are fully equipped to live your life. So at the end of a long day, you're not trying to fit in the gym, you're not in a bad mood, and you embrace your son running up to you going, Dad, is one of the greatest moments of your life. I go, you're doing good. Congrats. Bravo. And now it's the end of his day. And he's about ready to go to bed. And you could tell that he had changed. And when I got done, I said, hey, that was great. I'm glad you're, you know, on board doing the, you know, once a month mentoring sessions. And, you know, just thank you for being you. And he texts back. He goes, you know, I feel a lot better. And I'm like, how cool is that? So again, I'm thankful and grateful that I get to do that. And it's super easy for me and I enjoy it so much. But then you get that reward of that person going, you know, thanks for talking to me. I feel better. You pointed some things out that I didn't really see that helped me see how special my life is. And that's just super rewarding to me. So there's a moment that I was proud of and actually shared this with Joe because it happened right before our session. It was 3 p.m. on Wednesday and I was walking to the ATM on Sunset, Hollywood Boulevard. And I think I shared the story. I'm pretty positive I shared the story of the same ATM. It was a Thursday maybe it was a Wednesday, but I went to this ATM and this dude on a bike was acting all skittish, and as he kind of stepped to move away, I thought he was leaving, and I took a step and he says, "Back up, dude, I'll cut you and your dog." And I was like, I'm like, what? And then he made another, like, I was like, what are you talking about? And I was just sitting there and took another, like, he was going to walk away. Like, maybe he just adjusted his bike, but he's due back up. And I was like, and I walked up to him and he's, you know, I walked up to the ATM and he just started kind of cocking off and mouthing off and just, and I was like, and then he spit in my face. So I ended up kicking him in between the legs and it was really hard. So I don't know what happened, but I picked up his bike and I was going to throw it across Hollywood Boulevard. I kind of did this like half spin and then I looked towards Hollywood Boulevard and I was like, oh, tourists. It was just full of tourists. And I just set his bike down and I was like, oh my God, I wanted to kill this guy. And I'm like, okay, everybody's got phones. And it was just a messed up moment. And I left and I went running. I went running towards this guy, rode his bike. I was going to go get him again. So again, that's how caught up in it I was. I'm like, this is like an afternoon at an ATM on a weekday. I'm like, how does this even happen? Such is my life. So I'm with Zen and it wasn't the best time to walk him because, like, you know, 3 o'clock, there was a lot of school kids out waiting for buses along the sidewalks. You know, I'm always walking Zen without a leash or walking, but I was very, very like focused on Zen and make sure he was staying by me and we're close to navigating our way through, and we're almost to Hollywood Boulevard and there's a break, it's about a half a block and there's no people. And I see this drunk dude, like he's kind of staggering already, and I see him take this big like wine bottle and put it in the inside of his jacket. Like, you know, there it is, 3 o'clock on a Wednesday, homeboy's hammered, walking with a bottle. Now, if you split the sidewalk in half, it was a pretty big sidewalk. We'd be on the right side, you know, with Zen, and he would be on the left side. And he's not, he's on my side. So he's close, and I'm kind of hugging the wall because I'm, you know, I don't have a leash on Zen. I just want to make sure Zen's okay and gets by him. And so as Zen gets right by him, he takes like another step closer and just goes, "You fucking want to fight?" In my face. Now, I was telling Joe, like, I have a real problem with people raising their voice or talking shit or any of that stuff. And something in me just took over. And I turned my head to the side and I turned sideways to kind of get just through the narrow space between the wall and this guy. And I said, "Excuse me." And he said, "Yeah, fucking excuse me." And I just kind of passed him and my arms went by and I just looked at Zen and I kept walking. And I was in this moment of like, what just happened? I was like, wow. I was so into my response. I couldn't even handle it. Because I didn't go, okay, here's an opportunity. He's so hammered. If you push him, he'll fall down. So it wouldn't even be worth it. And don't let him get to you. Nothing. And nor did I think, don't let him bother you. Don't let him bother you. Don't let him affect you. Equanimity, equanimity. Like when I'm driving, I didn't do any of that. I was just focused on Zen. And I went, excuse me, walked by. And it was like I hope this doesn't sound bad, but it was like little girl joy. You know, just this moment where I was like, way to go. How nice does it feel now? You didn't get angry, you didn't do anything. You didn't have to be afraid of the guy. I mean, he might have fallen on you and he might have had bad breath or whatever, but I mean, he wasn't really gonna do anything to you. So you didn't really need to get all Joey badass on him and waste all that energy or time. You just excuse me and kept going. It didn't even stop you, it didn't even slow you up. Nor did it occupy any of my mental space. Because I'm like, okay, get mad, get in his face. Go, yeah, you want to fight? Because if he's going to do that to me, he's going to, and that's kind of always my justification. If he's going to do it to me, he's going to do it to someone else. And I just, you know, sad was walking around all these high school kids sitting on the sidewalks, and he's drunk as hell, you know, on a Wednesday afternoon. And, you know, if I don't stand up to him, what's he going to do to someone else? That's kind of a little bit of my impetus when I'm in those moments going, okay, look, I should be the guy that shuts up this guy. Anyways, that didn't happen, and I was wonderfully pleased. So now I'm trying to, and this is what I wanted to share. So now I'm trying to go, okay, remember that feeling? Like you've, you know, reacted, gotten in people's faces, yelled, you've done that, and you've walked away knowing that feeling. But you've never done this, and you've never walked away with that feeling. How would you like to do that again? Yes, please. Okay, remember that. And that's how big it was, and I was excited to share it with Joe. You know, I'm out here walking this path. Like Madeline said, you know, Tom's walking the path. I'm doing the stuff. I'm doing the work. I love when I make a good choice, and I love, like Joe, when by default something happens, and I'm like, wow, how dope is that? And that just becomes it. Because if he would have swung, dude probably would have fallen, but I wouldn't have gotten hit, I guarantee you. And it would have been that moment where he would have, oh, he tried to kick and punch and like five times, and I never did anything. Like, that's kind of the vision I have of me being me, going, look, you don't ever have to do anything. You don't ever have to react or get mad. Think about punching or hitting someone at all. You'll be fine. Have faith. So that was my little pro-you power moment that happened 3 p.m. on a Wednesday. All right, I'm going to end with this. It's called Dirty Old Shoes. I showered and shaved. I adjusted my tie. I got there and sat in a pew just in time. Bowing my head in prayer as I closed my eyes, I saw the shoe of the man next to me touching my own. I sighed. With plenty of room on either side, I thought, why must our souls touch? It bothered me, his shoe touching mine, but it didn't bother him much. A prayer began, Our Father, I thought. This man with the shoes has no pride. They're dusty, worn, and scratched. Even worse, there are holes on the side. Thank you for the blessings, the prayer went on. The shoe man said a quiet amen. I tried to focus on the prayer, but my thoughts were on his shoes again. Aren't we supposed to look our best when walking through that door? Well, this certainly isn't it, I thought, glancing toward the floor. Then the prayer was ended and the song of praise began. The shoe man was certainly loud, sounding proud as he sang. His voice lifted the rafters, his hands were raised high. The Lord could surely hear the shoeman's voice from the sky. It was time for the offering, and what I threw in was steep. I watched as the soul man reached into his pocket so deep. I saw what was pulled out, what the shoeman put in. Then I heard a soft clink as the silver hits tin. The sermon really bored me to tears, and that's no lie. It was the same for the shoeman, for tears fell from his eyes. At the end of the service, as is the custom here, we must greet new visitors and show them all good cheer. But I felt moved somehow and wanted to meet the shoeman, so after the closing I reached over and shook his hand. He was old and his skin was dark, and his hair was truly a mess. But I thanked him for coming, for being our guest. He said, My name is Charlie. I'm glad to meet you, my friend. There were tears in his eyes, but he had a large, wide grin. Let me explain, he said, wiping tears from his eyes. I've been coming here for months, and you're the first to say hi. I know. One second. Oh. I know that my appearance is not like the rest, but I really do try to always look my best. I always clean and polish my shoes before my very long walk, but by the time I get here, they're dirty and dusty like chalk. My heart filled with pain, and I swallowed to hide my tears as he continued to apologize for daring to sit so near. He said, "When I get here, I know I must look like a sight, but I thought if I could touch you, then maybe our souls might unite." I was silent for a moment, knowing whatever was said would pale in comparison. I spoke from the heart, not my head. "Oh, you've touched me," I said, "and taught me in part that the best of any man is what is found in his heart. The rest," I thought, "the shoe man will never know. Like just how thankful I really am that his dirty old shoe touched my soul." Author unknown, you are worth it. Your Pro You moment. It's always about you. These moments, the ones that are labeled Pro You. Let's begin to be Pro You right now. Let's control the things we can. If we can sit and cross our legs on the floor, fantastic. If we need to sit some other way, glad you're here. Eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips. I'm going to draw that navel into the spine. Draw that inhale through the nose, slow it down, elongate it. Exhale slowly out the mouth. Try to create that flow and that rhythm and slowing it down. Demonstrating your ability to control that breath. And what's going to happen is you're going to have to focus. You're going to have to connect your mind to your body. And that alone will block out everything else in the world. That is your goal for 180 seconds. If something does intrude that space, kindly, quietly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. Congratulations. Bravo. A pro you moment. Well done. And if you think about one of the things I always say is little things done consistently. So I've been trying to do these little things consistently, and I have achieved that. I have achieved a few little things consistently. And now it's been a long period of time. So I'm starting to experience the fruits of that labor. If life hits you, it is going to hurt in some way or another. And that's okay. It's how you respond. But I can pretty much guarantee that I was just reacting for the majority of my life. And not that it's bad, it's just bad for me. Doesn't do anyone any good to react. And it's wonderful for you to respond accordingly by your choice. Because when A, B, or C makes you feel stress, worry, fear, doubt, it's quite hard to know what the adverse effects will that have on your life, your health, and your chance of being peaceful. But when you are decreasing, limiting the moments that are scary, stressful, where you feel fear, doubt, and you start to feel that control, very seldom would anyone turn back from that path and not continue to pursue it. You just have to deem yourself worthy. There is a better you waiting. Peace and God bless. Thank you.